To understand just how far Pascal Couthuy has journeyed in his life, you have to know where he began. Thuy grew up a member of the Padang tribe in the small settlement of Pekong in southeast Burma. The Padang have a complex belief system, which is a blend of Catholic, Buddhist, and animist traditions. Living on the edge of the jungle, the tribe members hunt and farm. Padang women are known for their custom of wearing many brass necklaces, which make their necks appear elongated. In 1988, Thuy left his village to study English literature at Mandalay University. At the time, Burma was in the midst of a nationwide rebellion against the socialist government, a military dictatorship headed by General Ne Win since 1962. Thuy became a student agitator and eventually fled to the jungle with the authorities after him. He trained as a guerrilla soldier in rebel camps on the Thai-Burmese border, and eventually he escaped to England. He tells his story in the new memoir, From the Land of the Green Ghosts. I asked Thuy what his experience was of the insurrection in Mandalay in 1988.
Personally, when it started to happen, I wasn't interested in those things at all. And then, unfortunately, my girlfriend was involved in that. And then she was arrested and raped and murdered. And I also witnessed the shooting of monks and civilians who were protesting peacefully on the streets of Mandalay. And these experiences made me feel very, very outraged. So what I did was I simply said to myself, I have to do something to help my people. So I went home and I told those things to my villages, and they asked me to become their leaders to rally for the students throughout the country. So we kind of organized this type of do-it-yourself pro-democracy rallies. And we were threatened with machine guns again. And by 1988, August or September, there were 3,000 students and monks and civilians were killed on the streets of Burma. And then the military coup happened by September. So I had to flee my hometown and went into the jungle.
How did you know that you were in danger, that you personally were in danger when you fled?
I found it out through a radio communication in my village. What happened was, you have to remember that Burma still has only two or three official radio stations. So frequency of the channels are all free, almost inside Burma. So what I did was, after listening to Burmese news or the VOA or the BBC, I used to kind of play with the radio. And one day I kind of caught this police communication line, and I heard the name of my friends and then my name saying that they were going to arrest us. And only then I realized that how serious I was in. And also what happened, one of my uncles was on the side of the military government, so he also threatened to shoot me if, you know, he saw me again, this sort of thing. So I had to kind of leave straight away. And then, sure enough, as soon as I left, they were on my trail to the Thai-Burma border. So I had to kind of be very quick to escape from them.
Well, you were traveling with a few other students to the Thai-Burma border, where you'd heard there was a rebel army in training.
Yes.
What was that journey like?
I had to flee with my friends 3 or 4 nights without sleeping. And we never knew where we were going either, because we had no maps, we had no proper guides. And sometimes even when we had guides, we would be surrounded by Burmese troops and we had to break out from them. We didn't have any really substantial weapons to defend ourselves. So what we did was, we kind of thought, okay, let's play a Russian roulette here. If I manage to escape and you don't, I will tell your family that you die there. Or if I died, you tell my family that, you know, I die somewhere there. So let's do it. And then sometimes when we were hiding, we couldn't hide anywhere in the villages or the areas that would be safe. So all we could do was we went into these kind of places that the army wouldn't go, which used to be cemeteries, because the Burmese soldiers or people used to be very afraid of cemeteries.
I thought it was so interesting that you write of this journey that you found it was impossible to force your body to climb the mountains and go through the jungle that you were trekking through if you only thought of your fear of death. If you thought of the dangers, you got exhausted.
Yes.
But what did work to motivate you then or give you energy to go on?
I kind of said to myself, you know, Pascal, you had to be free. You had to be alive. And when you are free and alive, you must tell the story of your friends to the outside world. And also, I'm really, in a sense, I'm very much kind of believe in all these spiritual connections, both religiously, both just to do with tradition sense. So I believed that angels and the spirits of my ancestor looked after me. So I have this trust that, you know, they are protecting me, and I will escape, and I will one day be able to tell people what happened to my friends and my countrymen.
You reached the rebel army camp on the Thai-Burma border, and you immediately started military training with other students. How much fighting did you end up doing on the front of this guerrilla war?
I mean, in fact, I didn't really fight at all, because I wasn't really keen to fight. At the same time, I wasn't a very good fighter. So what I did was I did learn to you know, train myself to be a fighter. What happened was, in the end, I was so accident prone that they said, okay, Pascal, what you need to do is you have to just look after our wounded friends and friends who are ill and trying to find the supplies for you.
You write of the hardships you encountered along the route. What did you eat, and how did you survive?
Mostly we had to depend on the jungle animals and vegetables. Most of the time were vegetables and other plants that we could get hold of. But we did have regular supply of rice from Thailand. And most of the time we had to eat boiled plants, and also sometimes if we were lucky we could get animals like pythons, jungle fowl, snakes, moles, frogs and fish. And my favorite was I think jungle fowl, and we used to cook jungle fowl with marijuana sauce.
And marijuana sauce?
Yes, we did.
So that grew everywhere?
Yes, it was kind of grown very wild, you know, naturally or wild. So we had to kind of use them because we didn't have a normal type of herbs that area. But we were not allowed to smoke marijuana, though, because the people, the rebels who control the area were very devout Baptists. So one is not allowed to drink, one's not allowed to drink this kind of drug-related plants or what, however useful. But we were allowed to cook marijuana plants. So we kind of used those plants to cook our meat. And also it helped us a lot, because we used to have this kind of tension after each fighting and each escape. Everyone was tense. Everyone was on the nerve, you know, the nerve was very jungly. So what we did was we just stuffed the birds or animals that we could get with these herbs and cook them. And once we have that, we were a bit more relaxed. The eating situation was the worst thing. And sometimes we have these delusions. There was the most dangerous time when you didn't eat properly, you didn't sleep properly. And sometimes you thought that your friends were your enemies. So we faced lots of these kind of hardships. But I think our friendships, comradeships, kept us very close together. And we managed to survive. in the jungle.
I'm speaking with Pascal Kuthwe. He was born a member of the remote Padong tribe of Burma. He was a student in Mandalay during the insurrection against the military regime in 1988. Afterwards, he was a fugitive in the jungle and a guerrilla fighter against the government. He fled to England in 1989, where he has since graduated from Cambridge University. Now he has a memoir of his journey. It's called From the Land of the Green Ghosts. Pascal, we're going to take a break now, and then we'll talk some more.
Okay.
This is Fresh Air. If you're just joining us, my guest is Pascal Kuthwe. He grew up in a remote village in Burma and was a student during the insurrection in Mandalay in the late 1980s against the oppressive military dictatorship there, first as a student rebel and then as a guerrilla fighter. He now lives in England. His new memoir is From the Land of the Green Ghosts. You decided to make an escape from Burma, and you wrote a letter to an English professor you had met in the restaurant that you worked in while you were a student in Mandalay, Dr. Casey. Mm. You described the conditions in the camp, which were then pretty bleak. You'd had many bouts of malaria, sickness, disease was rampant. So you wrote him a letter. What did he respond?
I mean, his response was, he just said, you know, I'm sorry to hear that you are in trouble, or to that effect. But I will do my best, and that's all he said. And then with that letter came a parcel. I think there were two books, at least I remember. One was the Oxford Book of English Verse, and then the other one was Henry James, I think, A Portrait of a Lady. So when I flicked through the English book of verse, I found that there were about $120 in different denominations. So I thought, what was it? And then a couple months later, he said that he was coming to visit me on the Thai-Burma border. And then I waited for him at a hotel, and he said, would you like to come down to Bangkok with us, because we want to talk to you, sort of thing. I said, why not, you know? So once I was in Bangkok, they said, would you like to go to England and study? I said, oh, that's very kind of you. I'd really love to. So that's how it started.
You've lived in England since you arrived in 89, and you've gone to Cambridge University, gotten your degree there. What kind of contact have you had with your family?
The first thing I did was I sent them a postcard and saying to them that I'm still alive and well, but not anymore in the jungle. I'm in England. So later I was told that they celebrated a kind of Thanksgiving mass for me. Because before that, they were told that I was killed by Burmese soldiers on the border when they attacked my camp. When they heard that I was alive again, and they had that celebratory mass. And then they wrote to me saying that, you know, oh, you should work hard. Please don't come back to your country yet, because things are not very good, and if you come back, they are surely at least going to arrest you and torture you to death. So be, you know, brave and be happy wherever you are, and we will still remember you. But eventually, I didn't contact them, partly because I was worried, I'm still worried that they would be prosecuted or being interrogated for my actions.
You left Burma in 1988, and since then, the military government has continued its campaign against the pro-democracy movement, which is headed by Aung San Suu Kyi, and which won elections in 1990. She had been under house arrest since before the election, but she was released this spring, and that was hailed as a huge step for the Burmese independence movement. Did you view it with that much optimism, and what do you think has changed in Burma in the wake of her release?
Her release is a very good news, and also it did raise the optimism among Burmese people. But I think the military is deliberately delaying these talks and negotiations with the opposition groups. So I don't think that things have changed much for the country. And every Burmese people know that what's wrong with Burma, that it is the mismanagement of the country's affairs. And inside Burma, the people who are really working hard are people like Aung San Suu Kyi and other political parties who are trying to do decent things, trying to help people. But they are still being arrested and imprisoned in Burma, sometimes killed. So my feeling is they really don't, they haven't improved the people's situation. So what Burma needs is the coordinated pressures from international communities to help Burmese people. I mean, several things. Could be sanction, could be diplomatic dialogues, and could be other things that could bring Burma back to this normality. And the last time I visited the refugee camps on the Thai-Burma border, I saw many people are still fleeing from Burma.
What were you doing in the camps on the Thai-Burma border?
I always go back there to get closer to my people, if I could afford to. And I always want to learn what is happening to my country from close quarters. And also, many of my friends, student friends, who left with me in 1988 are still living there. And some have died, some are still imprisoned sometimes by the Thai authorities for entering Thailand illegally.
Can I ask you what you miss most from your home?
Many things, I think, but it's difficult to say. But I do miss the people, I think, because this feeling of wanting to be with your people is in it, in everyone. And the feeling of, you know, belonging to your people and also suffering with them, enjoying with them, that is very much missing. And I also miss, I think, that this kind of climate, very much kind of warm weather, I think. That's what I really miss about it.
Pascal Clouthoué, I want to thank you so much for talking with me today.
It's a pleasure.
Pascal Clouthoué's new memoir is The Land of the Green Ghosts.